Mini episode 210 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 210. Rick Morris, Kyle Ross breaking down NFL week 10 for you here. We are a good chunk of the way through the season. We are coming off of some nice numbers last week.
Yeah.
Kyle, on your recommended plays, as we've said, you're just lighting it up for the season here. 4-1 last week, 23-13-1 for the season, 64%. You are killing it. On all the games last week, I had my first positive number in a while, 9-5. 3-0 on my big three last week, 1-0 on my lock. 63-66-3, still underwater on all the plays for the season, 13-13-1 on the big three. 6-3 on the lock plays for me here, 67% on the season.
And if memory serves me correct, Ricky, I think we've only agreed all season long when it comes to your big three and my big, you know, my number moves throughout the week of recommended picks. I think we've only agreed twice, and both times they were right. They were honestly, went road favorite Ricky on them both times, too. New Orleans beat Tampa Bay, I remember. And then last week we had another kind of close one with Baltimore over Cleveland. Both times we got off to good starts, as road favorites often do. You start patting yourself on the back, and then the home jog comes back. You get very uncomfortable. And then who knows what happens. It becomes a coin flip after that.
I'll have to quote my best friend and valued FDH Lounge advisor, Jeff Maslanich, on that. He would refer to that as double shot power when you and I agree on these ones here. So.
And I'll say this. You know, we definitely got it right last week with the picks. It's a tough card this week. But some will say that I certainly got it right last night as well, by the way. I'm feeling like a winner not only on Sunday but on Tuesday as well. Thank you very much.
There's a certain race in the Cleveland area we probably shouldn't linger on very much, but it left you feeling good.
Yeah, it's from Cuyahoga to Colorado. The voters got this one right. And on a day that I'm not feeling particularly well, democracy is keeping me going. Thank you very much.
Meanwhile, I am fighting through the morass of the pathetic spectacle of what our country has become. Not that I was a Romney supporter by any stretch of the imagination. Nice to see the 47% out there that don't pay taxes able to vote themselves some free goodies. So congratulations to everybody for their Obama phones.
I do not support that whatsoever, that comment. I do not. If anyone listens to this 15 years from now, I am not even going to dignify that with a response. Yeah. What a great day to be an American.
I'm looking forward to the next inaugural ball. Rand Paul in 2017 taking the mic. You know, Mr. We could use a man like Calvin Coolidge again.
I can't wait till about 2015, early 2016, when it becomes readily apparent who the new loser that party trots out. Because it's going to be somebody right along the lines of your boy R. Money there or whatever.
Yeah, well, knowing the pathetic spectacle of the Republican primary process, it won't be anybody as great as Rand Paul. But I would look forward to that. And he could say he could furthermore finish that song by saying,
"Oh no, I shudder to think where we're going here."
What was the line in there about the car? I just like to I like to hear him substitute about something like Ricky O's Mustang ran great.
Good Lord.
Yeah, now that we
can't wait to see the look on your face and the rest of your compadres when Slick Willie is back strutting in the White House in 2016.
He's going to do his best to make that happen here. I understand you got some power ranking stuff you want to put out there as we're about at the midpoint.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's the midpoint of the season, and there's four games that I kind of like this week. This is it. It's one of those things where I looked at the card Sunday night and again Monday. Came up, wrote down four picks. It was like, okay, I like these. I'll just go with these. I've been doing some other things this week. I'll go with these for the show. They look good. And as I look more and more at the card, is this a tough card? So what I'm going to do, rather than just kind of flip-flopping and giving small leans on some of the other games, I'm going to go over kind of where these teams are at midpoint in the season.
Okay.
Rectify it with where I thought at the beginning of the season, and then kind of like giving a little projection of the future with some of these teams, kind of seeing where we're at, where we were, and where we're going to be, if that makes sense. And also take a look at some things. I ranked the quarterbacks. I've done my homework here, as you can see. I have two full sheets of notebook paper
written
down, and we'll take a look here, kind of give my take at where we're at halfway through, because basically every team's played 8 games. Some have played 9. But, you know, so we're basically at the halfway point of the season, more or less.
We're little past. We're just about through with the bye weeks. As is always the case, I hope people know this, but if they don't, my power rankings are for the FDH Lounge. You can find them every week, the same place as the show, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine. We don't much linger generally on the Thursday game because it's we generally do not have the show online by the time that goes. I don't like to do this, but I'm going to have to on Twitter. I'm putting this out as one of my big three for the week by default. There's not a whole lot of games I like here. Indianapolis laying the 3.
Yeah, I wonder who you're going with here.
Yeah, this road is favorite Ricky.
This would be a pass for me anyway.
Oh, really?
You know, sometimes I've done well. You know, on the Thursday stuff, you know, passing along through Twitter. I've had some recommended plays on Thursday before, but not here. Again, Jacksonville, you can't play Jacksonville right now.
No.
They are – it's not Charlotte Bobcats territory yet, but it's getting there where they are clearly the worst team in the league. But I don't want to lay points with the Colts on the road yet, especially after such an emotional win last week over Miami. That was one of my recommended plays last week was the Colts. Liked them in the home dog role. I think the market's overadjusted. I'll say this, though, just getting to what I was saying about where we were at. At the start of the season, you and I both said Colts 6-10 definitely.
Yeah.
At worst.
Yeah.
Because their home schedule's favorable.
Yeah.
They won another one last week. I think right now that I'll project them. And the only playoff spot I'm kind of flip-flopping on and need to see more is that last wild card in the AFC, the 6th seed.
Yeah.
I think it's a 3-horse race between Indianapolis, Miami, and San Diego down the stretch. I think the Colts can really get it. People are kind of laughing that off. You know, nationally, all the Colts aren't going to make it. They suck. But, and I can see why they do that, but it'll be interesting. I've got them, looking at the schedule, very likely to be 8-5 after 13 games, okay?
Wow.
And they have Houston twice in the final 3 weeks. It could come down to whether or not Houston's in a position where they can rest starters the final game and the Colts can get a gimme. We've seen that.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, by the way, will be picking first in April.
They will be. They're absolutely pathetic. That's why I'm going against them in this game without any hesitation. That's why on Twitter, for anybody checking there, that's why the
road
big three
favorites
pick was Indianapolis.
Did you read some of these stories?
No.
Vegas, they were calling.
Oh, they got creamed last week.
Yeah, they got creamed because road favorites killed it.
Yeah, Darren Revelle had a column. Yeah.
That's 2 weeks in a row. Road favorites have really killed it in a row.
Okay.
So.
And that's you've always said that's what the public loves to go on.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. And they stunk at first.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. There's a couple home dogs that I like this week, obviously. My natural lean is to them anyway. So it'll be interesting to see if the worm turns this week.
Our next one is most assuredly not a home dog situation here. New England weighing 11 points, had been 11.5 earlier in the week against Buffalo. We saw what happened the first time around. Bills got off to a good lead on New England and then got housed. Just got blown.
What did they give away? 45 points in the
second
half or something?
Like they were tied to a tree. Yeah, the final was 52-28. This is one where, again, looking at this with a situation where New England's had a week off to try to adjust, study, break down film. I don't see things getting any better for Buffalo this time around. I picked Buffalo at a backdoor against Houston. They just missed on that. I'm not going to make the same mistake again. New England covers the 11 at home.
No recommendation here.
Okay.
Look, I don't like to lay double digits on principle in the NFL. I did kind of say that, you know, there were two double-digit favorites last week, Houston and Green Bay. Of the two, I like Houston played Buffalo.
Right.
I said Houston would be more likely to cover that. They did. Both did, as a matter of fact. Both teams covered.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, the Patriots are off a bye, like you mentioned. They always beat Buffalo. The Bills are a really bad team. Yeah. I've got them as a bottom-tier team. This is a team at the start of the year, and I'll admit it, I have them as that sixth seed in the AFC.
I had Tennessee in there. I'll match you shame for shame.
Yeah, and both of those teams are in my bottom tier. I think when you look back, and if you go back, I think it was 3 weeks now, and listen to the show again, mm-hmm. I pointed out the importance of that Tennessee game when they had Tennessee at home,
yep.
and they blew a lead late, Buffalo. That's going to sink their season. Remember, they could have been 4-4 at this point, including last week's loss to Houston. They're 3-5. There's a big difference because now they've got, they're looking, they've got to go win 5 of the last 7.
Yep.
That's not going to happen.
Nope.
And now they'll be 3-6. So, I mean, it's over. It's over.
It is, yeah.
For them. It's over for them. New England is a team that I think gets hot in the second half, and I have them finishing second in the AFC.
Okay, yeah.
I have them. I've said it all year. I think you've agreed. The AFC championship game is going to be New England at Houston.
Yeah, we are very much
Wes
still
Welker
on pace
probable,
that.
Too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You and I have been saying that for some time here. New England and Houston, and I dare say again, if this is very interesting because you know, you keep hearing in a league where there's not a lot of continuity and other guys pop up. I'll go to my grave saying that would have been the AFC Championship game last year if Matt Schaub doesn't get hurt. It would have been Houston at New England, I think.
Yeah, it would have been Baltimore at full strength was pretty good. I mean, I don't like Baltimore as much this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they were playing well at the time last year, and Houston could have those first-time playoff jitters. They didn't play so hot in that game.
Right.
I don't know. It would have been. I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, Schaub's an upgrade over T.J. Yates.
Yeah, I think there's no
keep
question about that.
Keep Matt Schaub in mind later. Remind me to bring him up later. Oh, actually, we can't. We have to bring him up right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now. I want to bring him up.
Okay.
Because we just talked about Indianapolis, Andrew Luck. Who would you rather have as your starting quarterback? Who do you think's better?
Now or?
Yeah. See, that's the I screwed up because that's the
okay.
obvious answer. Because
now
obviously,
it's Matt Schaub. Yeah,
you think now
no,
it's
no
Matt
question
you,
about
you think?
It. Yeah, yeah. I
isn't
mean,
it close? Don't you have to think about it? Who you'd rather have?
I don't have to think
starting
about
starting Sunday. Who would you rather have as your starting quarterback this Sunday?
Matt Schaub. If we're talking
debatable?
About trying to win a Super Bowl this year, if that's the standard, Matt Schaub, no question.
Isn't it debatable though? Yeah. It's the margin's not wide. It's not. If I told you, if I came
it's
back,
not
and,
wide, no.
If I came back and said Andrew Luck, would you laugh me out of the room?
No, but it's a thing where. And I get that if you're going to – it's sort of like the Mike Trout thing. That if you're going to say
yeah.
any rookie, then Andrew Luck would be the one rookie ever that you're going to say that about. I get that, but it's a thing of Matt Schaub, who I have been touting for years and years and years, and he's not elite in the Brady, Rodgers, whoever class, but I think he's next level down. He's clearly good enough to win a Super Bowl. He's no worse than Eli Manning, who's got two rings. I would go with him over the course of the next year or so. Certainly anything beyond that, I would go with Andrew Luck. And I think that's what most people would say.
I have them both in a very large tier two of quarterbacks. And by the way, we'll talk about Houston in great depth. They've got a tremendous matchup against Chicago
you
Sunday night.
You said Super Bowl preview,
that's
and
my
it could be.
Yeah, and I was invited to that game. I'll have to regretfully pass
mm-hmm.
By my good friends in the Windy City. In my quarterback rankings, I have Schaub 11th.
Okay.
And I have Luck 13th.
Okay.
Again, Andrew Luck, we kind of had a breeze by him because he's playing Thursday night. Phenomenal. I just wanted to bring – that just came to me. I've been meaning to debate that because Schaub,
yeah, okay.
Schaub and then the other guy, Flacco,
yeah.
who we'll talk about Baltimore playing Oakland this week, I think that it's Luck's already at that kind of at that point where he's in that solid second tier of a guy. Okay, this is a guy you can build – the franchise around. He's not
sure.
an elite Super Bowl. I only have six guys in my top tier. They're all Super Bowl winning. They're the six guys who have won Super Bowls.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
that's a distinction.
I could see that.
But other than those six, the six quarterbacks who in the league right now have won Super Bowls, and then you've got, say, a Matt Ryan, a Stafford, a Jay Cutler. I know you're going to disagree here. Tony Romo. I don't think there's any quarterback significantly better than Andrew Luck at this point in the league.
Very interesting. It depends on the definition of significantly, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, he's comparable already to a lot of the guys in the second tier. I think they're all pretty bunched up. A top-tier quarterback, one of the aforementioned six to have won a Super Bowl. He won two of them, actually. Eli Manning and the Giants, they are at Cincinnati on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Tom Brenneman, Brian Billick, and the wonderfully tanned Laura Oakman with the call for this game.
I always love when you do the announcers.
Yeah. And Tom Brenneman, I'm sure, will work in during the game how Tim Tebow could make your life a better thing. You know, a couple minutes with him, I'm sure he'll be sure to work that into the broadcast.
That's a regrettable moment in his career.
Yeah. But, yeah, in looking at this, this is a line where the Giants are laying 4 down from 5.5. I had asked you off air and got the sense that this was a smart line move here on Cincinnati. So I'm going to join. I'm going to jump on board on this one here. Again, I'd feel more confident about it if the Giants had hung on last week because they were going to be ready for a letdown of some sort. But
yeah,
they could still win this one by a field goal, and I would be right. I'm going to take Cincinnati in the 4.
I like where your head's at here. First of 4 recommendations this week. Okay. Cincinnati plus the points. A lot of people, it was funny. Yeah, I love watching all the shows on Monday to see the reaction. It's, you know, just for a variety of reasons. Comedy, entertainment, whatever, perverse enjoyment. And there was a lot of people like, oh, Giants, they've struggled in the second half before. They're still going to win the NFC East because that division is not as strong as previously
thought.
They're
going to win
thought.
It by default. Yeah.
I honestly think they're about a 9-7, 10-6 team for the season.
Well, the Giants could never win a Super Bowl at 9-7.
Exactly. I'm saying that. Don't worry. They can lose this game, and people are going to be losing their minds, being Giants fans, some of the folks on on the national TV scene.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. They still have their bye. We've seen teams struggle going into the bye week.
Right.
And Cincinnati really needs to win. That was my lone loss on a recommendation last week. It looked like they were going to get it. They were winning the game outright. Then Denver came back, and it looked like they maybe pull off a Jim Morrison special, the old backdoor man. But Andy Dalton, he's kind of in my tier of too young to tell quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if he's not a top – he's kind of a fringe top 20 quarterback in this league. I think he's regressed this year, which I thought he would, and the team has. Cincinnati, probably a 6 or 7 win team when it's all said and done. But I think they get a win here. They get a win here. This will probably be their best win of the year.
They're really shading backwards. This would be an impressive win
and like
for
you
them
said,
if they're able
like
to
you
do
said,
it.
We can still cash if they lose by a field goal, which is good. So, I mean, I'm not calling necessarily for the outright win, but it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. To me, I think that's the likeliest outcome by far is that it shakes out like that. Another game with a nice line move here. San Diego is at Tampa Bay on this one here. The Bucs had been laying a point, and it has moved to 3. That they're now laying to San Diego. Again, I tried to decipher off-air in terms of talking to you, in terms of the line movement here. Looks to be smart money going for San Diego, and I can get that because, again, and this is where I'm trying to get with this mentality a little bit more, on the surface, there's no reason not to like Tampa Bay. I mean, they're averaging, 36 points, I think, a game over their last 4 games. Doug Martin, having
fantasy
one of
the
great
superstar
days.
Now. All the fantasy people are all about him now.
Yeah.
And he had a remarkable game last week, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but Josh Freeman is really making it work a lot with Jackson and Williams. Mike Williams very quietly on pace for a 1,000-yard season. And Josh Freeman, after some questions about him coming into the season, was he regressing? A 16-5 touchdown interception ratio. There's a lot of reasons to like Tampa Bay in this one. Having said that, I'm on San Diego. I'm not a believer in them necessarily per se, but two teams both at 4-4. And the sad reality of it is the AFC is so inferior to the NFC. That 4-4 for the Chargers is way more of a legitimate in contention for a wild card at 4-4 than the Bucs still are in the NFC.
Love where your head's at this week. I would give a slightly, not a recommendation to San Diego here just because of the line move. Mm-hmm. I think they're the better team. I have these teams kind of in the same middle tier. Looking at my power rankings, I've got San Diego 16th, Tampa Bay 19th. I figure that I'm on the low side with Tampa Bay, not only with you. I know I am with you.
Yeah, I got 14.
But with just people in general, I just think the market's a little too high on Tampa right now to be favored in this game. San Diego, even if Tampa wins here, I don't see them making the playoffs. They're an improved team. Remember, they were 4-4 last year. The bottom dropped out.
Right.
They lost their last 8 games. I think they lost their last 10, to be honest. I think
they
were 4-2,
actually,
and they lost 10 in a row.
Yeah, that's what cost Cousin Raheem his job.
Yeah. San Diego, if they win here, much better shot at the playoffs, like you mentioned, in the week. AFC wouldn't be surprised. San Diego, it just seems to me, hey, let's play against the previous weeks. I've mentioned that before. Freeman has improved. You know, San Diego, it's been interesting. They way overachieved 2 years ago when I said they'd be the most improved team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, predictably, they regressed. They're going to kind of be in the middle this year, I think, of those two seasons. But San Diego, in a game where the two teams are kind of even, I give a slight nod to San Diego, but not a recommendation.
Okay. What's very interesting, too, quietly, Tampa Bay's run defense, 77.3 yards per game against.
Yeah, you know, Greg Schiano, we made fun of him early in the year. He's doing a pretty good job there. Tampa Bay is a team that is going to outperform my expectations.
Right. One of the things, too, though, and this is going to hurt.
In a division outside of Atlanta,
yeah,
where there's a couple disappointments, being Carolina and New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. That division is one of the big disappointments in the league this year. But in looking at this, though, another thing that kind of catches my eye about Tampa Bay and about where they're headed, and I find this to be very interesting in looking at the numbers here. They've got a situation where defensively, again, like I said, you know, 77.3 yards per game on the ground, 321.1 in the air.
Manning, to remember that a lot of that's still, I mean, you're only looking at half a season sample size, and Manning had that ridiculous game, what was it, week two or week three?
Right. You've got that happening defensively, but offensively, one of the things I've flagged through the course of the year, Carl Nix, guard that they signed away from New Orleans, and who I have held up that is one of the signature moments of the failure of New Orleans here. Good old selfish Drew Brees.
I
want mine. Gimme. Carl Nix ends up getting exiled to Tampa, and he'd really helped out in the run game. He now blows out. I think he blew out his knee. He's out for the season.
Ooh.
So that is going to adversely affect that offensive line.
That's a tough loss.
Yeah, so it's a different set of circumstances here. A little more defensible.
So
you don't see
Tampa Bay as a playoff contender?
Not as of now,
okay,
no. I mean, fringe contender. Potentially.
I could see them finishing second in the division, but under 500. I think every team other than Atlanta is finishing under 500 in that division. Atlanta's going to win that division by, like, 7 games.
They are.
They could have that wrapped up by Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they're going to win that one going away. Next up for us here is a battle of two teams with very interesting quarterbacking situations. Don't know quite what it's going to be for Jake Locker yet this week with his injury status. It's Miami at they're hosting rather Tennessee, and Spiro Ditas and Steve Tasker on the call for CBS in this one. Shows you the respect it's getting from the network, but this is an interesting one here. You've got Miami weighing 6, and it's been kind of holding steady through the week, and. Again, this has been like a couple times throughout the point of the season where you've just looked at teams and you just kind of wonder if they're a little bit overvalued and where they're at right now. I could definitely see the Dolphins winning this game. I think they will, but the 6 just seems a little much to me. It really seems like, now part of it is Miami's been pretty good against the run, and if Chris Johnson can get loose, then all bets are off, as a great man from Cleveland once said. But beyond that... I don't know. I see this as a game where Tennessee can hang close enough. I like their chances a little better if it's Hasselbeck rather than Locker. But Miami just feels overvalued in this one here, weighing 6. So I'll take 6 in the Titans.
I can't do anything with this game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you why. Miami is overvalued. I completely agree with everything you said on that. But Tennessee is really bad.
Yeah.
They're a bottom-tier team for me. It's interesting. My bottom-tier, 6 teams, all AFC teams, and Tennessee's kind of at the top of that heap. I have them at 27th. I believe, let me confirm this here before I say it, I believe they have the worst point differential in the league coming into Week 10 here. Hold on 1 second.
It is,
minus 126. That's all. You know me, I'm a slave to the point differential.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good sign. They've got 3 wins already. You're right. I could see Miami's going to win the game and get to 5-4, which, again, will have them in contention, especially because the Colts are probably going to be jacked. The Colts will be 6-3.
Right.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
So the Dolphins are not a bad team. They'll win this game, but I don't like the idea of laying 6 with the Miami Dolphins. Do you?
No, I certainly don't. So you're saying that you're agreeing with me on this one?
Well, I've got no recommendation.
No recommendation.
Yeah, no recommendation.
Okay. Well, the other thing, too, and again.
If you put a gun to my head, I guess I'd take Tennessee.
I get that it's half a season, sample size, whatever, but I think we've played long enough to be able to judge this a little bit.
They've given up the most points in the league, Tennessee, 308. The next worst team is 240 for Kansas City. 248 for Washington. That's a huge difference. That's 60 more points than the next worst team. Now, granted, they have, you know what, though? In all fairness, they haven't had their bye. So that they played one more game, but still.
Still.
Eesh.
And
over 300 points in 9 games. Do the math there.
The other thing is also, again, something that just sometimes it's the weirdest numbers that jump out at me. A wide receiver as explosive as Kenny Britt, and I understand that he's been kind of dinged again this year. Exactly 11 yards per catch. What the hell's wrong with your offense when Kenny Britt has 11 yards per catch? Where are you failing if you can't get that guy open
for
more than 11 yards?
I can tell you where
catch.
They failed last week was turnovers. Yeah. I mean, that game was laughable. Yeah. I thought it was like a comedy routine in the first quarter. They turned it over 4 times against Chicago. That was one of the games that really set the books in Vegas, scrambling for some cash when Chicago was up 22 at the end of the first quarter. So
their whole procession in the first half, that was a bigger clown car than Octomom's vajayjay.
Yeah, and it's interesting with Tennessee now because the owner has put Munchak after just a season and a half on watch, and he's got to turn to Jake Locker, which for his short-term security isn't good.
No, it's not
so
good.
That could be a bad situation in Tennessee.
It's not good. Apparently the posthumous revenge of Mike Heimerdinger, who was fired for having cancer by Mike Munchak. So what goes around comes around, we could say.
Okay, well, there we go. You are a ruthless man.
I certainly am. This next one here, a rematch of the 2000 AFC Championship game, when Tony Siragusa deliberately broke the shoulder of Rich Gannon on a cheap
shot. I remember that well.
Yeah, to put Baltimore in the Super Bowl. We'll see if the Raiders remember this one. It's the 3-5 Raiders at the 6-2 Ravens. Greg Gumbel and Dan Dierdorf on the call for CBS. They're putting an undue amount of importance on an Oakland Raider game, putting the number 2 team on this one, Kyle Ross.
Dan Dierdorf is unbearable.
The Ravens are laying 7.5 in this one, up from 7. And I'm looking at this, and again, the hook makes me a little nervous, but there's no reason to like Oakland in this game here. Based on how they're playing, I don't think, particularly now, Darren McFadden, if he plays, he's going to be ineffective, and there's nobody else in that backfield that's worth a warm cup of spit. I think that Baltimore, defensively the rest of the year, they're going to be what they are. But offensively, I think they're sort of getting a second wind at this point. I think they're kind of rallying a little bit. I like Baltimore to cover the 7.5.
I don't like Baltimore as much as you do.
Okay.
Excuse me. Battling a cold.
Okay.
But I like them this week.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my 4 recommendations to lay the – this is a rare recommendation by me where I'm willing to lay more than 7 points.
Okay.
The Baltimore's won 14 straight at home.
Okay.
We've talked about the strong home-road dichotomy they have. It's arguably even stronger than, you know, or as strong as Seattle in the NFC, who's is more well-known and pronounced. The Raiders were down by a lot last week at home to Tampa Bay, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stormed back. I think people are going to see Carson Palmer's numbers. I have a very weird thing with my quarterback rankings. I have a third tier of 2 quarterbacks. Because just the way I define them, I have the 6 Super Bowl quarterbacks in my first tier.
Okay.
Then I have 11 quarterbacks who I feel you can build a franchise around and are safe starters in the
All
second
right.
tier. Let's skip the third tier. The fourth tier is guys too young to make a call on. Those are your Freemans, your Daltons, your Bradfords, all the rookies this year, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert even. And then I've got 4 guys who I think need to be replaced. Those, for the record, are Sanchez, Fitzpatrick, Castle, and Skelton.
Okay.
In the middle, at 18 and 19, I have 2 quarterbacks. I just don't know where to put them. Carson Palmer and Alex Smith.
Okay.
I just don't know what to – I think Palmer's done, personally. He had a good game last week. But for all the reasons you mentioned, the rate – and also, 1 o'clock start for the Raiders.
Yeah.
That was my big thing why I liked the Ravens earlier. A return home. The Ravens are due for a dominant performance. They covered for us last week against Cleveland. They kind of had to escape. I mean, they were trailing 15-14. You know, living in Cleveland as you have for all these times, you knew the Browns would lose that game.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
only a question, could Baltimore cover? But after this week, I am predicting a pretty steep decline for the Ravens. The Ravens will win here. They'll get to 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're as good as that record, though.
Well, the schedule is going to get very tough.
I have them possibly winning the division. It's going to be a big battle with Pittsburgh, and there's going to be a World War III type situation in the wild card round. You heard it here first. Those teams will play fourth and fifth seed in the wild card round.
I think you're probably right about this, and something where it's a very good idea for us to take Baltimore this week in terms of when you look at the matchups. You and I are big matchup kind of guys, and I touched on this with McFadden. What's been the biggest Achilles heel of Baltimore, especially over the last month to 6 weeks defensively, stopping the run?
Yeah.
If Oakland has nobody that can run, then, hey, you know, problem solved.
This is not a misprint.
Yeah.
That I'm getting here from our crack research staff.
Okay.
For the last four games, Baltimore's allowing 184.5 rushing yards per game.
Wow. And 139.5 on the season. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But Ray Lewis is overrated. Give me a break. Give me a break.
I don't like him, murderer, but I mean, to say that he's overrated, no, he's a Hall of Fame player.
So inspirational. Too.
Yeah.
So inspirational. If he walked in this door right now, I bet you I wouldn't be sick anymore. I could be dead, but no.
I'd sure like his advice on how to get off if I killed two people,
stop that.
That is what it is.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Man did nothing wrong.
Baltimore to cover the 7.5.
I like that. It's one of my four recommendations.
All right. Next up here. You've got Atlanta at New Orleans, another road favorite situation here. Atlanta is laying 2.5 up from 1 earlier in the week.
And I'm shocked this isn't in your recommended picks. Hold on here. Hold the phone.
Okay.
I'm blindsided. Because since we're doing this in person and on the phone, you know, usually when we do on the phone, you let me know ahead of time so I can go gather. I had this pegged for sure in your top three. I'm already shocked.
I was... Honestly, again, and this has been the case with me a couple times, I was looking for a reason to go the other way on this one. So it's not a strong enough feel. What I come down to more than anything else, and this has the feel of a perfect opportunity for Atlanta. I go back to earlier this season. Remember how Houston had lost like all those games in a row against Indianapolis, and they were able to break that streak?
This was last year. It was a couple years ago.
Well, no, there was a streak earlier this year. I think they'd lost. I don't remember what it was, but they'd lost like a bunch of games to Indianapolis because Peyton Manning had always dominated them.
They haven't played yet. Houston's Indianapolis this year? They haven't played this year. No, because they played at
Okay, no. I know what I'm thinking of. When Houston played Denver.
Okay.
When Houston played Denver,
okay,
Peyton Manning
right.
had beaten them all those times.
Yes.
That's what it was. Okay.
Okay, yes.
All right, all right.
Because they did snap their streak against Indianapolis last year because Manning wasn't there.
That's right, that's right.
Okay.
So sometimes it's all about the right opportunity. What I feel the most strongly about in terms of this game than anything else is that the Saints have won 10 of the last 12 meetings against Atlanta. Sean Payton's really had their number.
Yeah,
Sean Payton is not coaching.
And remember last
right
year was the game where Mike Smith.
Yeah.
You could. And I usually advocate.
Channeling Barry Switzer.
Yeah, I've kind of come around.
And now Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, I've kind of come to advocating going for it on fourth mm-hmm. down, but it didn't work for Atlanta. Again, with the Falcons, typical, what have I called them? Critics band.
Yeah.
They make all the right moves on paper. Where's the success? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I want to pick against Atlanta, but I think the market still is just slow to come around because no one believes in them.
Yeah.
I don't think this is their first loss.
I don't
A couple
either.
Weeks ago, I would have told you they're going to definitely lose either at home to Dallas. They escaped last week. I watched that game in full. They really impressed me. It wasn't the kind of – when I say impressed, it was impressive that I kind of thought they were going to lose,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't. Now, they didn't look – they haven't changed my mind that this team is not winning the Super Bowl. I don't think they're getting there even.
Right.
But the Saints' defense is awful.
Yeah.
And if the Eagles don't turn the ball over 57 times in the red zone like they always do, the Saints probably lost again last week. Short week. Not a recommended play, but I'd give this slight lean to the Falcons. Indoors, I know New Orleans always has enjoyed that great home field advantage.
Yeah.
I think the Saints are underrated. I actually have the Saints as the 14th best team in the league.
Wow.
Which is probably higher than anyone.
I don't have them rebounding at that point. But here's the thing, though, and this is why I agree with you. It's a good revenge opportunity for Atlanta because they've taken it on the chin so much against New Orleans without Sean Payton even being there and having to deal with the specter of that.
The Saints coaching situation, did you see, like, Drew Brees was telling Joe Vitt what to do last week. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I was sort of like fading in and out. I was kind of tired. Mm-hmm. But I could have. Did I dream that or did that happen?
I think that actually happened.
Okay, that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, so short week. Yeah, small check to Atlanta,
yep.
I'd say.
Yep. So
New Orleans is probably going to finish. New Orleans, it's funny. They're probably going to finish where I thought they were, 6-10,
yeah.
7-9.
They're going to rally for
the
that.
The Falcons
basically.
Will
yeah.
be the top seed in the NFC. I can't see them losing more than two or three games.
No, they're not going to lose more than that. There's no question at this point.